Hello and welcome to From Here With A View, a We Are The Seeds Philadelphia podcast. My name is Zachariah Julian. We recently had the honor of visiting with two very talented indigenous musicians from the Jicarilla Apache Nation, Dorothy Kyler and Natasha Kyler from the band Lindy Vision. Enjoy.
My name is Dorothy Kyler. My mother is Darla Hassel, and she is Jicarilla Apache, born and raised in Dulce, New Mexico. And my father is African-American, Otto Kyler, from Brooklyn, New York. And I am Jicarilla Apache and Black and from the White Clan. I am in the band Lindy Vision. I do lead vocals and mainly play synth. And I guess I'm a multi-instrumentalist now, so I do beats and a lot of synth work.
Why did you choose synthesizer? What about it made you want to create?
So I started on a Micro Korg, and it was just such an easy instrument for me to play because I don't know how to play piano. I don't really know how to read music. So that was the most natural thing for me to sort of build my melodies around for my vocals. But I just love sort of the variations and the different ranges that synth machines can make. They're just like, it's almost like having a whole orchestra or a whole band in your fingertips, and you can just make so much noise with it. Yeah, so my mom really listened to country music, which is funny because I don't really listen to a lot of country, but I like 90s country. But the album that I always remember her playing when we were growing up was Clint Black's Killing Time, I think is what it's called. It's like 1988, but she always played that album, and it's like one of my favorite albums. But I guess just that's like his style of storytelling and country in general, like the way they tell stories, that has had an influence on sort of how I choose to present my lyrics. And then our dad was really into Motown, and so those heavy, rich melodies that come from Motown, I think really have influenced me today. I really got into music when I was in high school in the 2000s and in college. And it was like that weird, they called it indie rock. So like the Strokes, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Interpol, like all those bands were the reason why I actually started making music. But underlying my writing style, you know, is the country and Motown. Like, so it's a weird thing, but yeah. When I was younger, I was really into dance. And that was kind of my way artistically to sort of express myself. We were raised, I wouldn't say we were poor, but we definitely didn't have money to like be put, I couldn't be put into dance because we couldn't afford it. So we would do, we called them the dancing contest. And so my two sisters and I, we would basically like choreograph these dances to, and I always remember doing it to Prince's When Doves Cry or whatever. And so I just remember choreographing. And so I think that was my first sort of artistic expression, you know, the movement with my body. And I've always loved dance. So it wasn't really, it was musical in the sense that we were choreographing to a song, but I wasn't making music at that time. Lindy Vision at its core is we make dance music. Like if you're not moving to our music, then you've missed the point. But, you know, with the electronic and the beats and the guitar and everything, there is this movement that comes through. And when I perform, I try my hardest to sort of bring that to life for people and for myself. I think I've sort of married the music of storytelling through music and then my body and my actions. And there's sort of this nice thing that happens during a live performance now for us. It's almost like it's not my voice. It's when I perform, it's almost somebody else performing. I become a character, right? Like I turn into the performance. My nickname's Dee Dee, or my family calls me Dee Dee. So like, it's almost my true self. Like in my real life, I'm Dorothy D. Kyler. Like I'm the mom, I'm the sister, I'm the grouch. But when I perform, I'm Dee Dee and I come alive, and it's almost like, yeah, I get to storytell. I guess through my music, I get to say things I normally wouldn't say. I finally figured this out with my two sisters. Like that was how we were speaking to each other through music, because we didn't have the best communication growing up and we didn't know how to talk to each other. And then but I could tell them through a song how I felt, or they could tell me through a song how we felt. And And so it was like communicating emotions. So that's the storytelling I think that music gives us. You can communicate sort of on a different emotional level. When I first started doing vocals for Lindy Vision, and you could probably see this or hear this on older projects, I was afraid. Like, I didn't really know my voice. And your voice is a very vulnerable part of you. Like, you can't really change it all that much. You're born with it. I think as I started, you know, doing it more and practicing more and rehearsing more and then getting in front of people more, I became an empowering part of myself. And I grew up with bullying and not liking who I was. I didn't like the color of my skin. I was picked on because I was Black. I was picked on because I was hardly anybody knew I was Native. So, but I, you know, I just grew up in this like culture that I wasn't allowed to grow. I couldn't be my natural self. And through music and using my voice and realizing the power of my voice, I've been able to sort of transcend that for myself as an adult woman. And that's taken years, though. It's taken, God, like, we've been doing it a long time, but it's taken over half my life to finally be like, oh, that's my voice. I'm comfortable with it. I like it. And it has power. And yeah, that's been the freedom that music has given me. I mean, I do a lot of different things, but at the core of everything that I do that has meaning or purpose, it's always been making music and making music with my sisters. There's only two of us now making the music, but you know, all the albums prior that we made with our other sister, Carla, they have such a special part of my, like in my life and my heart. They're not just a part of our discography or catalog, like they're a part of our life, like our history or legacy together. I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
My name is Natasha Kyler. My mom is Darla Hassel. She's Hickory Apache from Dulce, New Mexico. And my father is Otto Kyler, and he was born in Brooklyn, New York. And I identify as Hickory Apache and African American. Came to Albuquerque, basically followed my mom here. my mom lived here, gosh, for a while. And once she moved to Albuquerque, it was always my dream to be closer to her. So once I finished high school, I was like, oh, my mom's in Albuquerque. I'm going to go to Albuquerque just so I can be closer to her. But yeah, I came up to Albuquerque and eventually went to UNM for undergrad and for law school. And just being in Albuquerque, I was around more of a Native American population. When I was growing up and in high school, there weren't a lot of Native American students. And so coming up to Albuquerque and going to UNM, I feel like I was around more of that diverse, like, Native population, which was awesome. And a lot of people were confused. Like, they would look at me and they'd be like, what are you? You know? And I think, like, after a while, I internalized that question. I'm like, what am I? My parents divorced and my mom left. You know, I really missed that part of my identity. I missed her. I missed everything that she embodied. And so it's just been like sort of my quest in life, like just wanting to be closer to her and wanting to be closer to that side of my identity. I always thought my mom was such a beautiful person. And I know she had a hard life. I knew she came from a difficult childhood. But I was just always curious about, you know, her days growing up on the reservation, what that was like, what she knew of her culture. And I knew she had this longing to know, to learn her language and to learn that side of her as well. I think it was lacking for her, and in turn, it was lacking for me. I don't know if she ever came to terms. I think maybe she came to terms towards the end of her life with it, but maybe it was just a part of me wanting to fulfill something for her as well, saying, look, we can do this together. Like, we're going to find this part that was missing from both of our lives together. It has to do with our whole family, really. It goes back generations and generations of just, you don't grow up around it, you get disconnected. Things happen in your family. And, you know, generations later, we're still searching for it. I think I'm a lot closer, which is great. I play guitar, and I'm the only guitarist in Lindy Vision. So it means, you know, if I want to, I do, like, I'm like lead guitar, rhythm guitar. I've dabbled in bass, although I'm not very good at it. But sometimes we need a bass, and so I'll maybe play bass. I've played some bass in some of our songs. And recently started to dabble with some beats, which is fun. Actually, I listen to quite a bit of electronic music. And so beats have been fun. Like, I like creating this really high energy beats for some of our songs. So that's been fun to experiment with that. I remember being really, just really kind of like as a young teenager, being really sad and like confused and lost. And I remember just staying in my room a lot and listening to music. And that was the way of comforting me and just making sense of like my feelings. Yeah, I just remember sitting in my room. I had like an acoustic guitar from the pawn shop. I didn't even know how to tune it. I would just like strum it along with the songs that I loved. And it just had this really cool effect on me. It was just like letting it out. Like everything I feel inside is like, it's coming through what I'm listening to. And finally I'm able to like play along with it and express it in my own way.
So you were talking about how you have these dark moments in your life. Do you feel that music helps you cope with those dark moments?
I used to think of it as something like that I had to push down. And I think people do that. They're like, don't just be positive all the time, be happy. But I don't think you can really enjoy the happiness without some of that sadness and darkness. And I like that about myself because I do a lot of journaling and writing, and I have some of the best stuff I've ever written has come from that dark place. So, and I think the music too, like that I'm digging from that darkness too when I write music. I listen to a lot of classical music too. And so I gravitate towards sort of this like melancholic, like piano and like cello, just like, I don't know, it speaks to me. And I love it. I think that's some of the most beautiful music I've ever heard. You can almost like hear like the sorrow and the sadness. And I just love that people can sort of pull that out of themselves. And I mean, I don't think it's scary or anything to shy away from. I think it's beautiful. So a lot of the guitar parts I write, a lot of the things I journal about, it comes from that place and I love it and embrace it. But yeah, I guess I just try to tell like with my guitar parts that I'm coming up with, just like what I feel. Sometimes it's, my sister will say it's too sad. It's not going with the upbeat vibe, but I don't know. I think I reground sometimes our songs, with an emotional guitar part. You know, you can dance to our music, but I also want to put like this little sneak in this little, like, oh, that's kind of tugging at my heartstrings. So you're dancing, but it's like, I want that emotion to come through as well. So I try to do that as much as I can with my guitar part. Music is really why, I mean, sometimes like I keep going. I'm like, I wanna chase the sound. I wanna chase the sound with Lindy Vision. I wanna hear more music. I wanna relive. And I want if someone's having a hard time and they come across our music and they say, oh wow, that song, you know, is the reason that I feel better, or somebody gets me.
We turn and he puts on his lights. And I'm like thinking, oh, he's going to an emergency. But no, he's pulling me over. So, and I'm just sitting there in the car, like focusing on my breath. Like yoga is all about connecting the mind and the body and the spirit. And so I'm just like, breathe, stay calm. And I was like, this is it. I was like, this is what it's like to be Black in America. And that day I wrote this song because I was so like, it was just such a rattling experience. Watch out, they're coming for you. 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 So that's kind of what it was about. It was about me processing it, which is also about the storytelling in music. It's like, how do we, like a lot of it is like processing our emotions and what we're experiencing and what we're going through. So yeah.
I'm glad she wrote this song to process though, because I could tell that was a really disturbing situation for her. So I was just like, I'm glad she had this outlet to do, because after she wrote the song, there was this like totally different energy about it. It's like she reclaimed those feelings and that experience with this song. She's like, it wasn't like this. I'm gonna show you what it was like, you know, with this song.
You have to fight for your Black body. You have to fight for your Brown body. And sometimes we forget that, I think. You know, we're in this world where they're like, racism is dead, or I don't see color. But that's not true. When you are Black and Brown, racism is well and alive. Like, it's alive. And sometimes I forget that, but it's there, and it's an insidious part of our culture, our American culture in particular, And they just have to, you know, that being pulled over was a little reminder. And yes, reclaiming our story, you know, the movement for land back and Black Lives Matter. Those are us as Blacks and Browns and people of color. Those are us reclaiming our stories, right? Reclaiming who we are and fighting for it. Like, we have to fight. And that's been the story since, you know, since colonization began, since they tried to conquer us, since they've tried to kill us and continue to try to kill us. So it was just like that blood in me was just like, fight. And I fight through music. We fight through music, I think. You know, when we first started, we were just trying to be musicians, trying to make music, make some noise. But people expect something from you when you look a certain way. They're like, what do you have to say? Or something. And, you know, I came to a point where I was just like, my mere existence is a political statement, because both Blacks and Natives, there's is, you know, atrocities in those communities. And there's been almost a genocide that's happened, you know, or an attempted genocide, because we're still here. And so our mere existence has been sort of my protest, right? I exist. That is my protest. There is something to be said for us writing together, but it doesn't always happen because, you know, of time constraints. She has a family, I have my family, and we have to, you know, and she works, I work. So we have to balance sort of the time that we have together. So yeah, I'm excited to see what happens with this Popo song. If anything, it was a good cathartic moment for me, but I do really like it. And I'm hoping, you know, it's something that we can release, or we do release, but we're never married to releasing everything we create. Like, honestly, we're kind of like, when Prince passed away, they found his vault, right? Of like, I don't know how many songs that he like never released. But I think that's kind of how Lindy Vision is. Like, yeah. We have tons of songs that we've written and never released. So the few that we do release, you guys are lucky to get them. But yeah, so I'm hoping we release this song. It's a cool concept song, and it was really fun to make. We feel as Native American women and Native American artists that we are definitely carrying on the oral tradition of our people. It's a natural sort of continuation. Like, even the stories that I have are from my mom's mouth, right? Like, the stories that I know of being Jicarilla or from the Rez or from our family, that's passed down from my mother through her and through me. And so by our storytelling and by sharing our music and lyrics and our personal stories, you know, we've shared a lot about mental health challenges we've had, staying sober, different emotional things that we've gone through, and, you know, just the whole identifying with adult children of alcoholics, that whole saga, which is, you know, it's a part of our story. And we've talked about this in the past about, you know, some of the stuff that we've gone through in our lives. You know, some of it's taboo or some of it might be a shameful, but it's only one part of our story, right? And so we've chosen to share it with people and connect with them, not as a point of shame or even blame. I don't blame my parents, you know, for succumbing to alcohol. Alcohol is, you know, a lot of people deal with it, and I have more empathy and compassion for my family now and where I come from. And I know for me personally why, you know, alcohol, I choose not to drink it, because it was such a devastating part of our family. So it's almost this, carrying on that oral tradition, you know, when our sons are older and, you know, they turn 21 and might want to drink, maybe they'll listen to our music or hear these stories and know that, you know, maybe alcohol is not the best drug of choice, whatever you want to say for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've kind of stamped our place in time, and hopefully, and that's how preserving your tradition and preserving your culture and like your experiences, like that's what you do. You carry on through your stories, through your music, and that's what we're doing. So it's nice that we have these songs and that they can be shared with future generations, because this is what it was like to be two Black Kicker Apache women at this point in time. And I think our music reflects that.
We didn't grow up on the reservation. We lived there for a brief period of time. When I was like 7 or 8, maybe for 3 or 4 months. But we've always, you know, we're grateful for sort of what the Apaches are doing, what Jicarilla Apache people are doing with the preservation of their culture. They're realizing that the elders are not always going to be with us, so that, you know, they're offering classes, and we have the Jicarilla Apache app, which is actually pretty amazing, and it's available for free. And that's where we've been dabbling with some of our Apache for some of our music, which has been like huge for us and very new. Yeah, so that's like one of the things, you know, with storytelling and a dying language. We weren't privileged enough to live on the res, and we didn't have anybody in our family on our maternal side, right, that we were immediate to that could teach us Apache. So just having that app and technology available has been priceless for us. I hope our mom would be proud that we're trying to learn our language, and we're doing it through music, which is, it's a hard language for us to learn. But I think sometimes when you sing it or through music, it's a little bit easier for us to sort of express it. So yeah, we've been exploring that, and we're really happy and proud of that. It is important, and we're still here, we're still trying, and we're resilient people. My mom was always like, we're fighters, you're a fighter.
The last song on your new album, The Third Kind, is Jicarilla Apache. What does it mean?
Yeah, that's a bachi, directly from the Jicarilla Apache cultural app, which is available to download for free for everybody. But Hey Dada Kwe Adani means, did I say that correctly? That song is a lullaby song for our boys. But I liked it in this idea, like, was I a good mom? Did I do that correctly? Did I, like, these imaginary, like, did I say that correctly? And I almost imagine it being like, did I do that correctly? The drums are that on that track are just hand drum, which we've also been exploring. Just feeling empowered as a woman to pick up a hand drum, because for some tribes it's taboo, or you're not supposed to do it. But I think in a lot of ways, playing hand drum is very therapeutic and a beautiful way to connect with the rhythm of your own heart and the rhythm of, you know, being a Native American. So I have embraced that in our music.
She has this line in the song that says, I hope you remember me even when I'm gone. And our music is just so, it's so us. We put everything we have into our music. And so I'm just like, you know, I love my sisters, and I love that we've been able to create music together. It's like, they've given me so much through those songs, and I can't eat, like, I just feel my sister in that song, and I think that's why it makes me so sad. Like, those lines are just, they cut really deep. It's a beautiful song and really deep.
So this was the first album after Carla, our drummer, had left. So she decided to leave the band in 2021. She was our drummer and our sister, and there was also sort of a loss of a relationship there. So we don't really talk about it, but we haven't talked to Carla really in like 2 years. And so that's what The Third Kind is. It is this alien part of ourselves that we had to sort of come up with, right? It was outside of ourselves because Carla had left, and we had to decide if we were going to continue to make music or were we going to quit. Was this the end of Lindy Vision? And ultimately we decided to continue because it was still a huge outlet for us. It was still a huge part of our therapy, right? Or it was a huge part of us. So we were like, you know, one person wanted to leave, and we had to just allow that. And we still were like, well, we can still make music.
You've been doing something for so long, as with your sisters, one of them leaves. I was kind of devastated. I remember a lot of nights of just like, what's going to happen to Lindy Vision? And you don't know, you don't realize how bad you love something, how much you want it, until there's this prospect of it being taken away from you. And I think in those moments of like desperation of like, wow, could this be the end of my dream? Like, one person walking away, is it over? And those moments of desperation, I was like, no, I'm going to find out what kind of artist I am. and I'm going to sort of reinvent myself. And I have, like, I feel like on this album, I've done a lot of things that I've really stepped out of my comfort zone as a guitarist and as a musician, as an artist. I did a lot of stuff that I haven't done on previous albums. And so I think, you know, out of this like fear and devastation and heartbreak and loss came like this beautiful album that's like, I'm free. Like, no, now I know that I can do it and that no one's going to take it away from me. This is our first album after the babies, right?
Yeah, after our boys. Our boys were born in August of 2020, 11 days apart. It's a fun story. Fun time. And so Nay and I were new moms.
Yeah, you can hear my son on the opening track, The Third Kind. Yeah, that's his little voice in there. And he's like, they're always present while we're making this music. I think they're giving up. They're making the biggest sacrifice because they're not getting, you know, time with their moms all the time. Like, we're taking time away from them to make these music, to go to these shows. And so.
Yeah, that's a huge thing when you're a mom and still trying to be an artist or a working mom. You're away from your family. It's time away from the babies. Mm-hmm. But yeah, postpartum, The Third Kind is postpartum. Yeah.
A lot happened before this album was made. We lost, our sister left. We had babies.
It was a lot of change.
Yeah. So I think what you're hearing on this album is two women, literally just... We're almost brand new. We've been reborn as mothers, as this duo. It just felt this is what we are now. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. Our first albums, I like to say, you're just hearing three girls learning how to write music.
Yeah.
So June, we wrote 2017 when our mom passed away, and people love June, and I love June also, you can see that there's this sort of we're tapping into different emotions. We just lost our mother. There's just this new realm and new sort of thing open for you, and so you hear that and you feel that on June. Adult Children, it's sort of a little bit of the beginning of a healing process for us. You know, when you lose a parent, and our mom, I would consider, she was pretty young when she passed, you don't really get closure. I have a lot of questions for my mom, and especially when we became moms, I had even more questions for my mom, right? But she'll never be able to answer those. And so Adult Children was that sort of reconciliation with, you know, what alcohol stole from our family, what damage it did, what questions I have or what emotions I can't process.
So as Indigenous artists, what advice can you give to our youth that are getting into the music world?
There's a million different ways to get to the top of the mountain, and it doesn't matter which way you get there as long as you keep climbing. But the way you create is unique, so you need to remember that. The way you create, nobody else can create like you.
Whether you're playing to one person or 100 people or 1,000 people, always remember why you're doing it. And you know, when you're playing to one person, it's like, I love doing this and I don't care who's listening. So just always keep that love and that passion as a young musician. And I mean, I've kept that, and that's the reason I keep doing it, is because I love it and I'm still happy to do it.
To our fans, to our visionaries, words cannot express how much gratitude we have for our visionaries, and we're honored that we can continue to share our music and our story with our fans, and that they continue to support us.
For all of our fans, we love you so much. Gosh, I'm thinking of people in my head as I'm saying it, because I'm just wow, you guys are we can't do anything wrong almost. That's how loyal and awesome you are. It's you love what we do and you're the reason that we do it. So thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been an absolutely amazing experience. And thank you for sharing your journey through the music world. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of From Here with a View, a We Are the Seeds Philadelphia podcast. And a special thank you to Dorothy and Natasha Kyler.
From Here with a View, a We Are the Seeds Philadelphia podcast is produced by Michelle St. John, with music by Zachariah Julian and original logo art by Jason Weesaw. This podcast is funded in part by Independence Public Media Foundation. For more information, please visit wearetheseeds.org.